chapter 13.
Amen. Praise the Lord. When you have found that, stand for the reading of the Word of God. We're all sitting in the book of Proverbs. Amen. Chapter 14. Amen. And verse 12. So Proverbs 14. Amen. And verse 12. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Exodus 13, we're going to read verses 17 and 18, and then Proverbs 14 and verse 12. Good to have everybody again today. Thankful for you that are here. Luann and I appreciate you today. Amen. Love each and every one of you. Thankful. Amen. For the goodness of the Lord. Amen. Exodus 13, 17. Everybody have it. Say amen.
Amen.
And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. Proverbs 14 and 12 says, there is a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Amen. Praise God. They're going to blast the shofar. And we want you to give the Lord some praise for his word today. Come on, bless him this morning.
Hallelujah.
About his word.
Hallelujah.
Bless him about his word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you this morning. We bless you today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You may be seated. If the Lord will allow me today, I want to minister on this song, Where It Ends, Not When It Ends. Amen. Where it ends, not when it ends. Look at your neighbor and say that. Where it ends, not when it ends. Amen. Praise God. Most of us are familiar with the exodus of Israel from out of Egypt, right? Amen. A lot of people know that. We just came out of the season of Passover, amen, which retells that story of the redemption that God granted unto Israel and his people. And we see in that there are many pictures and there are many parallels in the Exodus account, amen, and we understand clearly now, amen, now that we're on this side of redemption complete, we understand that much of that pointed to the fulfillment by Jesus, amen. We know that God had set it all up, amen, and ordered it, amen, and everything pointed forward, amen, to Jesus fulfilling, amen, the Passover bringing redemption. It pointed toward the ultimate plan of redemption for all of mankind. So we know the Exodus, amen, from Egypt for Israel, amen, was for their redemption at that time. But we understand that it pointed to the ultimate redemption of all mankind through Jesus. And so we can look at this and we can draw much insight and wisdom that applies to our journey from bondage to freedom in our personal walk. How many knows today that you're free in the name of Jesus? Amen. Praise God. That sin no longer has the hold on us. It no longer has the authority over us. Amen. But Jesus now has given us the authority, amen, and the will to say no to the enemy and yes to the covenant of God. Amen. Praise God. So we can draw much insight and wisdom from a lot of these patterns and parallels and pictures and that we see in God working out and planning the redemption for Israel. Amen. But I want to ask you a question this morning, that what the Lord has laid on my heart for today. Do you ever feel like that you're being led through a path that seems longer than necessary? And I can put that in heavenly tongues. Amen. Are you believing for a breakthrough, but it feels like it's been the long way around? Amen. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. You're going going through some things, you're in a season, you're dealing with some situations, you're taking on, amen, a report, you've been given a diagnosis, you've been told, amen, of something, amen, that goes against everything that you believe about the word and the truth. It doesn't align exactly with, amen, where God's word comes, and you are believing, and you are striving, and you are doing, and you are pursuing, and you are moving forward, amen, but it feels like, amen, that God is taking you the long way around. I can say that I feel that way, amen. He's taking you away over a direction that really doesn't make sense. You can look, amen, elsewhere, and you can see ways and situations and things that you can see with your eyes, or you can see in the natural, amen, or even see, amen, with a spiritual vision, amen, that would be a better alternative in your mind, amen, that would take up less time, it would be a less pervasive path, amen, there would be a lot less to deal with, amen, if God would just take you this way, or it would work out this way. Can I get an amen in this place? Amen. There is a way that seems shorter, or a way, amen, to get to relief quicker. Amen. Are you with me today? All I need is two or three. Amen. And we're good to go with this, amen, thought this morning. We see this in Israel's journey out of Egypt. You see, when they left, amen, we know the direction God took them was not the obvious one. The obvious way, amen, why did they leave Egypt? Amen, what was the ultimate plan? The ultimate vision was, destiny was to get them into the promised land, into the land of Canaan. We know that when Moses went before Pharaoh, he said, let my people go so that they can worship God in the wilderness. Amen. Hallelujah. He knows that it's all about worship. If it doesn't start with worship, amen, it's not going to end well. If it doesn't continue in worship, it's not going to end well. Are you with me? For when you have a clear picture and revelation of who God is, worship is at the very foundation of your relationship. Come on, somebody. Amen. If it had not been for the Lord on my side, where would I be? Amen. Come on, somebody. That's a good place to put your hands together and get some worship to God in heaven. Amen. When they left, we know that the direction God took them was not the obvious one. And we see this in verse 17. Could you pull that back up for me? Exodus 13 and 17. And it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near, or that was the shortest way, or the most obvious way, or the most common way, or the way that most would have taken, because their desire was to get there. How many knows that anywhere you're going, you want to get there quicker? I find myself, amen, because a time constraint is a big struggle with me. I feel like everything in my life at this point is based on a time schedule, and that if I lose 5 minutes, amen, it's going to mess everything up. So I have to get myself, amen, to keep settled. So I find myself wanting to get everywhere I go in a hurry, or to get done everything that I need to get done in a hurry. If I'm in the store and I need to get out, and somebody gets in front of me, amen, that's just not moving. Amen. You find yourself like, oh, amen, right, amen. Same thing on the road. Right, or same thing, or whatever you're doing, amen. Anything that we do, we like to get it done quickly, amen. Or we get somewhere, we want to get somewhere quicker. This is why people fly places instead of driving. If I can fly somewhere in 2 hours, why do I want to drive 18? When I don't like being in the car. Come on, are you hearing me? Amen. Praise God. It's the whole thing. You see what I'm saying? Amen. Amen. So God took them the way, amen, the way that was the closest. That's not how God took them. He said, unless peradventure the people repent when they see war and they return to Egypt. Amen. So yet, amen, it wasn't an unknown way. It wasn't that it was inaccessible. Yet this was the way that God led them. Amen. It was the way that God desired for them to go. Now, when they ask, amen, if the goal was to get them out of Egypt, why not take them the nearest way? Well, we get the answer briefly in the same verse, amen, in verse 17. We get the answer at the end of that, that, amen, God was afraid, amen, the answer was not distance. Distance was not, amen, the issue, but rather what they would face along the way, amen. That was the issue. The shorter route passed through the way associated with the Philistines, amen. And we know that the Philistines were, amen, a natural enemy to God and his people, amen. So the shorter way would have taken them, amen, that way that was associated with the Philistines. This path would involve a conflict. Now, I want you to understand something. I was thinking about Israel and, amen, coming out of Egypt. And, you know, we are so quick to judge, amen, the children of Israel. We're so quick to slam them for their unbelief, or to diss them for them being afraid, or to you know, look at them negatively and consider them, amen, that a negative reflection. And I got to thinking about them this week, amen. And you got to remember that they have just came out of slavery, amen, and they have witnessed signs and wonders, amen, that God had brought them out by decisive measures, right? Amen. Everything that God did was very decisive. It was not anything that was coincidental. God had everything accurately figured out and planned. So all of the measures that God used to bring them out, amen, that there was an issue with them, that they had not been formed as a people prepared for war. In all that they were and in all that they had not been trained, amen, that same verse tells us that they were not ready. You say, where does it say they weren't ready? Even God said, unless they repent, they change their mind when they see war, and they will return back to Egypt. So that tells us that they were not ready to face the conflict. Amen. That they might even turn back. And that is a detail that matters. So the direction of their journey, amen, isn't shaped by destination, amen, but it's shaped by their condition. I need somebody to hear me today, amen, hallelujah. The direction of their journey isn't just shaped by destination, so it wasn't just about where they were going, but by their condition. It was also shaped by what they were ready to encounter. Now, keep this in mind again, we're so quick, amen, to cast a negative light on the children of Israel, because we say after they saw the signs and wonders and all that God did, how could they be afraid? But I was thinking about them this weekend, amen, and keep in mind where they have been, realizing that 400 years they have been in slavery. 400 years they have been under bondage to Pharaoh. We know Jacob, amen, took and left and took the people there, amen, to stay, and they ended up being there and being brought under slavery or bondage. 400 years. Think of how many generations passed during that 400 years, and the mentality of slavery and bondage. Amen. How that every generation, amen, after the first generation lived under that intense of slavery and bondage, every generation that followed after, amen, came with the mindset that they were already slaves. Are you hearing me? That they had no other choice. There were no other options but to be under bondage. And then the next generation, and it's proven, amen, that each generation that passes, whatever that generation passes down, is going to be the influence on the next generation. So when you talk about 400 years, amen, there's a lot of discrepancy, amen, about what a biblical generation is. It starts out in Genesis at about 100 years, but it goes down to about 38 years. So when you think about it, if it stays at 100 years, that's four generations of Israelites that got up every day with the mentality that this is all that life has to offer. This is our destiny. Somewhere somebody had planted a seed, right? Somewhere somebody in one generation to the next had kept the truth about Jacob and about the goodness of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That somewhere, amen, I don't know if the people cried out to God specifically, but here they are surrounded by all of these gods of pagan worship. And here they are surrounded by all of these things that could entice them. But somebody somewhere, whether they cried out to the God of Jacob or whether they just cried out, God said he heard their cries. Somebody said, surely there's gonna be a better way to live than this. Surely there is more to living than we're out of a I feel the Holy Ghost coming. Surely there's more to living than experiencing this cruelty, this bondage. I come to tell somebody today who just might be here under the snare and deception of the enemy, there is more to life than what you're experiencing. There is a God, hallelujah, who saw you way before you were ever formed in your mother's womb, and he assigned a destiny over your life. And that destiny does not involve addiction, depression, confusion, and destruction, sin, bondage. That is not your destiny. How much goodness of God have we saw?
Come on. Yes. Come on.
Not only seen, but experienced.
Yeah.
How many times has God came to your rescue? Hallelujah. How many times have you cried out when you thought he wasn't listening? And somewhere, somehow, he sent relief. But yet, we still find ourselves under, amen, the mentality is that it's never going to get any better than this. This is just who I'm destined to be. So why do we point the finger at Israel, who had been in a slave mentality for generation after generation? And when they came out, no wonder they would have ran back and been afraid, because that's all they knew. But once you taste of Jesus, you can run back to him. Hallelujah! Somebody. Was that life? And now
You're welcome in something new.
Moses had no idea what he was setting the world up for.
Come on.
And he said yes to the voice of God. Moses, take your shoes off, for the ground on which you stand is holy ground. I want you to go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Who should I say sent me? Tell them the I am, like the I am. Guys, sent you. Oh, hallelujah. Allowed to train or to be used in military. that out of all the times that I have read the Exodus story, and of all the times that I've studied it, and you know, we started teaching on Passover 22 years ago, on the Jesus and the Passover and all that, and of all the times, this never caught my attention until today. Let's look at verse 18. That when they see war, they return to Egypt. Give me 18, please. But God led the people about, right, through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up. Here's where it got me. They went up harnessed.
Right.
Do you know what that word harnessed is translated into the Hebrew? Armed.
Wow.
So they had weapons, but they didn't know how to use them. Shut me up, Holy Ghost. I was like, what the what? How did I not ever catch that? How did I not ever see that? Amen. Hallelujah. So go back to verse 17. Amen. That they were not ready for war, that when they would see it, amen, they may try to use those weapons, but they would not know how to use them with wisdom and understanding. So the weapon, amen, would actually be to their disadvantage and would allow the enemy to utterly destroy them or even apprehend their weapons. Can I tell you, no weapon formed against us as children of God shall prosper, and we have everything that we need in the holy arsenal to resist and fight against the enemy. But if we stand defeated, it's not because we don't have what we need. It's because we don't understand what we got. We don't know what it is that we actually have. Well, I feel like jumping the pew today. I'm telling you, buddy, but I feel like skipping. As I straight shot right to you, you've got everything you need to fight back the gates of hell that's come against your family and against your daughter. You've got everything you need, hallelujah, to hold the enemy in jail and the enemy captive. Somebody better help me in this place. No weapon for it shall prosper. Lord. So we like to talk about how God led them out with all that they needed, right? They had all these animals, all of these goods, all of this stuff. The Bible calls it booty. It's what we take, what they get as a, amen, as defeat. And they take the treasures and they get, amen. That's why it's called pirate's booty. Where it comes from. Not to hide in. I know, because that's what all your minds went. You're trying not to laugh, but you're sick of you. We can move on. We know that they had, that the sandals that they had on their feet never wore out.
Come on.
Wouldn't you like to just have one pair of shoes?
Yeah.
Now some of us got more than we need.
Yes.
Just as some of us. I'm not throwing anybody on the bus. Come on.
Yes.
My wife loved her heart. She's not feeling well, so she had to go home. But her and her shoes, man. She ain't done much anymore, but then she's come home from the thrift store with several pairs of shoes. You know what I'm telling you, the truth. Right? They're there all in the shelf and all in the arsenal. And she always goes to the same pair. Or the same four pair. Right? has heels, but hates heels. And she don't have as many as she used to, but and she'll once in a blue moon, she'll put them on for going to like a wedding or something. We get in the car, she's like, I don't know why, but it's stupid thing on. She got it, she got a stash in her purse now. As soon as she can, she rips those bad boys off and sticks those comfortable shoes on. Right? More standing pictures, my feet are killing me. Oh, these shit, I can't wait to get these shoes. But imagine, I got way off on the rabbit hole on that. But imagine having a pair of shoes that never wore out. We think about all of that, but they were armed with weapons. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Jesus, when he was standing on the Mount of Olives, and he knew they wanted him to stay, he said, guys, it's expedient that I go away.
Yeah.
But if I do, I pray the Father send you another comforter.
Yeah.
That'll lead you and guide you and always have truth. We've got an arsenal. Come on, somebody. Yeah. If we could just let the Holy Ghost be the Holy Ghost, he's more than a tongue talker. Amen. That's the least. Come on, somebody. God, we all come to Jesus. Hallelujah. He's a comfort. He's a strength. He'll fight for you. He'll give you free, amen, advance warning. He'll give you knowledge that only comes from heaven.
Amen.
That can set you up for breakthrough and the enemy for defeat. Hear me today.
Amen.
So they had what they needed to fight. They just didn't know how to use it. And God knew that. Do you know how many times he saved your face?
Come on. Let me know we don't.
By sending you the long way.
Come on. You never know.
The hard way. Come on, somebody. And we look at what we see, we think, oh, it's got to be much easier. It's a short way. I can get right through a lot sooner because, like, you ain't ready. Come on, help me. So now God changed the route and the path became longer. Yet they were fully armed, but they just didn't have the wisdom to use the weapons. So the path became longer, less direct, and less predictable.
Well,
now that'll preach for a little bit. Because we like having advanced knowledge. If God's going to, it's all right for you to lead me where to go, but God, let me know what's ahead. Come on, somebody. I've been at my job now for 9 months, and I've went the same way up to now. Until the other morning, when I got ready to take the exit onto 270, a big flashing sign, 42326, 270 southbound, closed for 60 days. I was on 33. So if you go 33 to 270 south, you ain't gonna get there come Thursday. It's closed for 2 months. And I'm like, because at this point, even when I'm sleepy, I know where I'm going. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Now I've got to change my pattern.
You have to think about it.
Now I got to figure out the next fastest way to go. Now I gotta add minutes. Seriously. Already 45 minutes there. Listen, now I gotta add minutes. I'm like, So I decided yesterday when it was Saturday when I was going to work, that's probably a good time to try that new way because there won't be as much traffic. So now I have to depend on the GPS, and I hate that.
Yeah.
So I'm spiritual, don't I?
Yeah.
Come on. I'm like, okay, Lord, I hear you. Because we get used to knowing the way to go.
Yeah.
And we get comfortable because it's predictable. Even if we get held up with traffic, it's predictable. I still know what's ahead. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? And I still know, hey, man, approximately how long it's going to take me to get there. But now I got to go a different way. Now I got to make literally 10 turns on all of these country roads and dark, pitch dark, because I leave for work, amen, at 5 minutes till 4, and I'm like, And so I gotta listen. And so I looked up just for a minute yesterday morning as I just looked down as I was turning and making my first left turn, and I seen that it said I was going to have to turn on this road, and I looked up just a quick glimpse and missed, because it's a really quick like this. And then I seen it reroute me, and it added more minutes. Yeah. And I'm like, not today, Satan. So I found me a hole to turn around in. I'm like, I'm going back the way that I'm set. And come on, are you hearing me? Praise God. And you know that's the way we are in our walk with God. We like to know where we're going, how we're going to get there, what it looks like up ahead. But this way that God sent that Israel was less predictable. Amen. It was less direct. They had no idea what they were going to encounter. As a matter of fact, when they encountered the Red Sea, they were like, how did you bring us here? So now I've got to get used to and get my mind set on 10 turns in the dark. I ain't happy, but I don't have a choice. There's another way, but it's the same thing. So I'm going to pick the way that's got maybe the same amount of turns, but it's less time, even if it's 2 minutes. 2 minutes is a lot at 2:45 in the morning.
Yes.
Yeah. 2 minutes is a lot for me. And this way that God was sending them was more unknown, less direct, less predictable. They could not decide. So it became longer, less direct, and less predictable. I saw that in last year, in 2025, that archaeologists unearthed and discovered a fortress of Egypt that is along the ancient Horus military road in Sinai. Okay, at this time when this was happening, Canaan was ruled by Egypt. So the land that they were going for was ruled by Egypt. So this tells us, amen, and as I saw that and I began to do some history and some research, that Egypt had set up fortresses and military armaments along that way. Amen. So it would have been along the way that they would have taken to go the shortest route to Canaan land. So not only would it have been the way the Philistines, but there would have been people of the army of Egypt that could have possibly been there. And had they saw the Egyptians, no doubt they would have said, we got to go back. We can't deal with that. So even at that, God knew they would not be prepared. Can I tell you, God knows the enemy likes predictable. The enemy likes you being predictable. He likes things being direct because he has things set up. Amen. On the path that is the well-known. He has things set up on how it is for everyone who walks this path in relationship to God. But it's when God begins to grow our faith and God begins to deepen our relationship that he'll turn us and take us, amen, a different direction. And the enemy does not have time to set up, amen, armaments, amen, and resistance there. It is everything you encounter will become God-centered. It will become God-allowed, because the purpose of it is not to keep you from getting there. It is to prepare you that you can get there and take what he has given us. Somebody better help me in this place. Are you hearing me this morning? I'm trying to bring this to some kind of conclusion. So they would have encountered that fortress that would have no doubt made them turn back. They would have become afraid. So we know from the text that the delay was not without a purpose. Look at somebody and say, the delay has a purpose. I feel that for somebody's spirit this morning. The delay has a purpose. The delay has a purpose. So when I found out this morning that they were adding another 60-day extension, guess what? The delay has a purpose. Amen. Praise God. Joanne was gentle on her heart. She got my paper. But you have to understand where we're at, right? And women are different than men, and just you did that, the whole thing, whatever. She's ready for this to be over. Because it changes everything about everything for us.
Yeah.
And just as the words came out of the mouth, that, oh, I did find out that they're taking the other 60-day extension. So we're looking at the end of August. Luann walked through the door and she said, are you serious? We're like, the last person that needed to hear that. Among the first. Right? The delay has a purpose. I feel that for somebody. That works here. I get that quicker, but I feel that for somebody in this place this morning. The delay has a purpose. God's delay was not without purpose. But let's look at verse 21. Can you pull up verse 21 here? They did, Diane. Remember that? Let's see, here we go. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night. Hallelujah. So the route wasn't random.
No.
Come on, somebody. Look at your neighbor and say, the route isn't random.
Listen,
it was guided. You couldn't ask for anything more. If God's going to take you the long way and he's going to take you the way that you don't know where you're going, how much comfort does it bring that he shows up as a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night? So that day and night, night and day and night, night and day, he's going to guide you, lead you, keep you. And if that pillar of cloud lands you at the base of the Red Sea, don't you know that that pillar is going to bring a man away over that Red Sea? Can I tell somebody today, trust him, trust the Holy Spirit. Where God leads, he will take you through. So we're not. So the longer way was still a led way. And you know, we get all caught up in kumbaya when we're in, you know. Where he leads, I will follow. We get all warm and fuzzy until he leads. And then we're like, I don't want to go this way. I don't want it to be this way. Well, the last time I checked the word, even Jesus himself said, I'd rather not go this way, but nevertheless,
right,
it's not about me. It's about you, Father.
Amen.
All right, one hand clap and two hands up. Amen. Praise God. Are you hearing me? Come on. Are you understanding me? Not my will, but thy will be done. Do you know why we have such a hard time surrendering our will to the will of God? It's because we don't trust his love. Bottom line, and if we don't trust his love for us, we don't understand the fullness of his love for us. I'm talking to you from experience, even recently.
Yeah.
Come on, I told you, I'm 61, still growing and learning. Thank God he didn't give up on me. Thank God he didn't. Thank God he didn't leave me where I was almost 3 years ago. Come on, somebody hit me. I don't like where this season has been. It's been a long process. It ain't over yet, and I have no idea where, amen, I'm the one I'm going to see next. But I can look back and tell you that I'm not what I was 3 years ago. And I'm glad I can slap the piece out of you. I'm glad that he didn't leave me in that condition. honest with you.
Come on.
It's working for everybody.
But it's a led way. So here's the thing. They aren't wandering at this point. And I come to tell somebody, you feel like you're wandering in the wilderness, you're not wandering at this point. If it's a led way, it's the right way.
Right.
If it's the right way, it's the only way.
Right.
Come on. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? They were being directed step by step. But you see, this distinction really matters. Don't you ever say it matters? Because what was ahead on the longer path wasn't just about avoiding conflict. See, we see that what was ahead in this land path, this longer route, wasn't just about avoiding conflict. It was about formation. We've all been created to be image bearers of God. And the Bible teaches us that we grow and we go from faith to faith, from strength to strength, from glory to glory,
yes.
Transformed on the daily.
Right.
That's the plan.
Yes.
Right? Am I wrong?
No.
That's the plan. Be transformed by the what? The renewing of your mind. It all starts here. Okay, it all starts here. It all starts here. So it was about formation because they would face the Red Sea, right? They would have to walk through the wilderness. They would have to learn dependence. See, they thought they depended on Pharaoh, but they were under bondage. God was going to teach them that depending on him was freedom.
Come on.
So many people think serving the Lord and being a Christian, amen, is bondage. Nope, it's a complete opposite. It's freedom. That means my free will chooses freedom.
Yeah.
Come on. I may not always talk like it, walk like it, act like it, look like it, but I know it.
Amen.
That's why when I fall, I get back up. If I didn't know, I wouldn't get back up. Come on, somebody. None of which would have happened on that shorter route. None of that would have happened. God didn't lead them the shorter way because they weren't ready for what that way required. They would have either turned around or tried to fight in their own strength. I would say they were probably pretty weak physically. They had been under a taskmaster. They had rushed and stayed up all night. Come on. Had to hurry up and pack everything up. Tell the kids we're moving. We're leaving. Think about that. Gather up their house. Clean it all up. Do this. Specific instructions. You only got to get this. Get ready. Be ready. Be ready. Because when the door opens, you got to go. Imagine getting up and telling your spouse, we're moving today. Start packing. And you can only take this, this, and this, and you got to leave the rest. I ain't leaving that. You don't have, that's the thing. Come on. Come on. So here they are going out, and they're carrying all this stuff. No idea where they're going. No clue what has just happened. Screaming in darkness in Egypt. 3 million of them. And they got one man saying, follow me. Come on, are you hearing me? Talk about blind faith. They were tired. No wonder when they got to the Red Sea, they were like, are you kidding me? Not despite the fact that they could hear coming behind them Pharaoh and his chariots. We would have still at least live had we stayed in Egypt. Somebody better help me in this place. Let's not act like we wouldn't have been the same way. It's that slavery mentality. It's that bondage mindset. Even though they were free and they had just experienced miraculous supernatural intervention in their mind, they were still under bondage. Wonder they freaked out when they saw the Red Sea and turned around and saw. Come on. Are you hearing me? So the way that he led was longer, but it was directed. Now touch neighbor and say, it's directed. I'm telling you, he's seeking somebody today because I was going to preach something else. And all intentions to preach something else. And God shifted me today. This was not a quick alternative, but it had purpose.
Right.
Amen. How many times in life, can you think about how many times in life you took shortcuts? And you did things, you made decisions, you went directions that you knew in the depths of your belly you should not go. And you should not do, but you did it anyway because of convenience. Or because of people, or because of whatever, only to pay the consequences later. Come on, somebody. But by the grace of God,
yeah.
Come on, by the grace of God, he broke you out. Are you hearing me?
Right.
The path God leads us may not always look efficient. I'm trying to finish. The path that God takes us may not always match what seems like the obvious way. Just give me 5 minutes with him. Let him come at me. Right? Just let me say my piece, God. Just let me say my piece. How many times have you typed it out? Get ready to hit that inner button. And the Holy Ghost goes.
Yeah.
Delete.
Yeah.
I won't lie to you. I've saved it sometimes.
Yeah.
Thank you for letting me go back to it. Come on. Maybe I'm the only one. Just be honest with you. Then you get delivered. Yeah. I can just say my peace. Why do you want to sacrifice your peace to say your peace? Your peace says, be still and know that I am God.
Right.
Not always easy, but it's right. And what's right always wins. But the shortest, easiest way isn't always the one that leads forward. I don't want to go backwards. I don't want to stand still. Are you hearing me? My whole desire is to move forward, to keep moving into the presence of God. Keep going into, as I see Jesus saying, keep coming. Keep coming. That's what he is as mediator. That he said, keep coming. Keep coming. When you fall down, get up. Come on, get up, get up, get up. Come on, keep coming. Keep coming. Take another step. Keep coming. Keep coming. Oh, but God, don't worry about that. I got that covered. It is finished. And you have permission to come. Keep coming. Who's he talking to this morning? Just keep coming. You've tried and you tried. And people have cut you down. People have persecuted you. People have talk down about you. You have been told, amen, that you're not worthy, that you're worthless and all of this thing, and you suck. You get so far into the presence of God and you suck. But Jesus, being that mediator, amen, that in between, that lawyer, is saying, keep coming, keep coming, just keep coming, just keep walking, keep walking. Oh, I can't get up, walk up. Well, keep crawling, just keep coming. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost with somebody today. Just keep coming. You want to see what I mean when you get closer? Just come on, just keep getting closer and closer. It may take you days, it may take you weeks. For some of you, it's taken you years, but I hear the Lord say, keep coming, keep coming, keep coming. It looks like the long way, but keep coming, because where it ends up, hallelujah, are you hearing me?
Yeah.
It's what matters,
yeah.
And not it ends.
Right.
Where it ends is what matters, not when it ends.
Hallelujah.
But the path that feels longer is the one that is actually leading you to the right place. Touch your heart and say, take me to the right place. Take me to the right place. God, I don't want to settle. I want to be in the right place. In the right place. Creator, be a clean heart. Renew a right spirit within me. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Or even if I make my bed in Sheol, you'll be there. Come on, are you hearing me today? The place that God intends you to end up is where the fullness of his covenant for the destiny over your life can be released.
Yeah.
Proverbs 14:12, we already read that to you. Can you find that real quick for me back there? Oh, there you are. I was looking through your head and I didn't see it. In the complete Jewish Bible, can you pull that up? I'll read that. Proverbs 14:12 in the complete Jewish Bible. Because the Bible tells us, right? We read it to you in Proverbs 14:12, that something can seem right, but not be right.
Right.
Are you hearing me? Sorry, I meant to do that, and I didn't. Gotta keep you for a couple more minutes, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm about to finish. It's so easy to get comfortable in what's predictable. So easy to feel like something's right because it's predictable. Did I miss you? It's making me nervous because it's dark. It's got a purpose. And on the purpose. On the purpose. See? Hallelujah.
He gets it already.
Yeah. See, they don't do that. That's the goodness of God, right? The word will work.
Hallelujah. That's
fine. We can get so engrossed. In what we understand.
There it is.
That what we don't understand. Here we go. Christy, he's yours. Take that out of the calendar. There can be a way which seems right to a person, but its end are the ways of death. Pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
We attribute that to sin, right? We tend to go, you know, because the wages of sin is death, and we type there's a way that seems right. But listen to me. There can be a way that seems the right way to go.
Right.
That's predictable. That's the most well known. That's the shortest way to get there. But at its end are the ways of death and not life. So at its end, there'll be with restriction without resurrection. There'll be remorse without remedy and repression without relief. So I will take the long way with the delays, the Red Seas, and all of the encounters that God will allow only to form me into a better image bearer than to take the short way, the predictable way, the easiest way that I can control and lose resurrection, relief, and remedy. Because where it ends is what matters, not when it ends. So I take from this for me is, God, help me to not think and speak, God, when is this going to be over? But instead, God, where this is leading is for my good.
Yeah.
And you'll get the glory.
Yes.
When it's all said and done.
Yeah.
Are you hearing me? As they get ready to come to the music. I don't know who the Lord is talking to today. Or how many. Because I believe it's more than one. But if it were only one,
right,
he would have shifted the message just for you.
Right. Yes, he would.
I mean that. He would have done it just for you.
Yeah.
That's how much he cares for the one. But he'll leave the 99 for a little bit and go for the one. We don't always understand the delay, but I heard the testimony. How many remember us, the Greens, the singing Greens, the Southern Gospel group, the Greens? She's the Kim Green sings with the Hoppers now. She married Dean Hopper.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I heard the testimony of her oldest brother. They were traveling and singing, and he was pastoring. And he started getting sick. I'm trying to cut a lot of the details, but he started getting sick. He started having headaches 18 hours out of the day, he said. And he woke up one morning and his legs wouldn't work. And he went to doctors, and they were saying this and saying that. Nothing was changing. They had a friend refer him to an ENT. So he went to this ENT in another city, and this ENT checked him and looked at him and told him that he had mold, active mold in his body, and it had went to his brain, and that's why his legs had quit working. So he said, you're going to have to redo your whole house, change everything, anything that could have the appearance of mold out. They spent thousands and thousands of dollars remodeling their house, and nothing changed. And he went back, and the doctor gave him petri dishes, and he said, "I want you to take these petri dishes, and I want you to set them all around these places where you're at." And he did these petri dishes, took them back, and they sent them off to be tested. And he said, when the results came back, they said there was a little bit of mold here and there, but it is not the mold that is. He named it off, but I ain't gonna try to something. But he said it's not this strain of mold, it's not the mold that's in his body. And the doctor said, "Did you check your car?" And he said, "No." So he gave him another petri dish and he put it under the seat. And they were supposed to leave it there 6 hours, and for some reason he said they had to get it out 4 hours. And he said when they got it out 4 hours, it was completely black. And that the source of the mold was in his car. And in all of this process, he wasn't able to work, wasn't able to travel and sing, wasn't able, he had to quit all of this. So he had to get his car, and so that he had to change his car, and he still things got better, but not completely better. So they told him to move closer to the beach. They lived in North Carolina, so they moved, uprooted and moved. And found a house and bought it closer to the beach. But he was still struggling. They lost some house and they bought because he wasn't able to work. In the process, he already had one daughter. His wife gave birth to their second daughter in this process. So we're talking years now that He's suffering and struggling. And his wife asking, why is God letting you go through this? Why is God changing this for us? Because he struggled to walk in all of this. And he said he was so tired that he took a gun and he went to the beach. And he looked out over the ocean. He said, God, I'm tired. I'm a burden to my family. And he said, the Holy Spirit began to ask him, how do you think your wife's going to feel if you take your life? What about your mom? What about those thousands of people that you sang and testified about me to? What are they going to think if you take your life? And he said, God spoke to him and said, I'm going to send a preacher to you, and he's going to baptize you in the Atlantic Ocean, and I'm going to heal you.
Woo,
I have a Holy Ghost. He said he didn't say a word to his wife, but his wife had enough burden. He wasn't about to tell him what he said. 2 years passed. He said he was driving down the road. I want you to hear me. He was driving down the road, and he said, I don't know. All I can tell you is that in the windshield, I had the image of the face of this preacher that I know that I hadn't seen for years. And he said, I thought that I was hallucinating. He said, and I thought, I don't know what this means. Maybe it means I'm supposed to pray for him. He said, so I pulled over on the side of the road and I prayed for Brother So-and-so. He said, I got him a car. He said, I went to my house, pulled in the driveway, unlocked the door. He said, when I was unlocking the door, the phone was ringing. He said, guess who was on the other end of the phone? He said, that preacher. And he said, that preacher said, Tim, I don't know what this is, but I was driving in such and such city just a little bit ago, and I saw your face in my windshield.
Yeah.
And Tim said, brother, so-and-so, you're not going to believe this, but the same thing just happened to me, but I saw your face. And he said, God spoke to him. And listen, he never said a word. He said, just even ask him, Tim, how you feeling? Are you feeling better? He said, you know what, Tim? I feel like I just need to come down there and baptize you in the ocean. And he said, I said to him, brother, so-and-so, you're not going to believe this, but 2 years ago, God spoke to me and said, I'm going to send you a preacher. I didn't know who it's going to be. He said, but how quick can he get here? He said, I'll be there Sunday. He said, listen. He said, because God spoke to him. Forgot about this. God spoke to him. Amen. And took him to 2 Kings about Naaman dipping into the water 7 times. And that's when he spoke to him and said he was going to send a preacher to baptize him. And he said, so he came, and that the preacher, they went to his home church, and he said they were there in the worship, and the Spirit was there. He said, but a man got up and said, your pastor is sick, and he sent me to stay in his place. He said, and I don't know why, but God spoke to me late last night to preach this message, and it's for somebody. I need you to go with me to 2 Kings chapter 5, and he preached about Naaman dipping 7 times in the water. And he said, when the worship was going on, that the enemy came to him and said, God's not going to heal you. That's the stupidest thing you've ever thought. You're going to go down in that water and nothing's going to happen. Then that preacher preached that message. He said that they went to the ocean, to the beach. He got down there. He said he dipped one time. He said, and he heard, looked up, and the water was 58 degrees, and it felt like 35 on that day. He said, when I went down the one time, he said, I was shaking and freezing from the inside out. He said, but by about the fourth time, he said, the water began to get warmer. He said, I'm telling you, the 7th time I went down, the water felt like it was hot. And he said, when I came back up, he said, I said, thank you, Jesus. And he said, I didn't feel different. But on the way home in the car, he said, my ears, my mouth, my nose started pouring out all of this gunk and all of this infection. And he said, God began to heal me. And he said, I've been healed ever since. I've been pastoring for 17 years. Somebody help me. We may not understand the way that God takes us and why we have to wait. But at the end of it, what glory will be revealed? It's not about when it ends. It's about where stand with me across this place. If you're in this house today, you don't know Jesus, you're not saved. Maybe you've become discouraged. Maybe you've been hurt. Maybe you've been rejected. You turned. Your faith is in God. I want to give you the opportunity right now to say yes to Jesus. To say yes, Lord. I surrender. Right now is the time. I can't promise you that everything is going to just supernaturally disappear with you. Surrender today. But I will tell you, it ain't about when it ends, but it's about where it ends. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've heard the Lord today, sure as I'm standing here. Hallelujah. So if you're here today, you're lost, you don't know Jesus, or you're backslidden, you turned your back on your faith, I want you to come. But maybe you're here today, and you're standing right in the middle of a mess. Something that looks like it's impossible, or it's not fair. Or you're in a season, or you're in a path, or you've got a diagnosis, or you've got a report that just doesn't look right, doesn't feel right, doesn't seem to line up with the vision, or whatever. I want you to come. We're going to pray with you today, because the Spirit of the Lord wants to encourage you, wants to strengthen you, amen, and give you peace to not surrender to the lies of the enemy. Don't take a detour and go the easy way and take the short way. Don't pick it up and take it in your own hands, but trust Him as He directs you on the path that He's leading. Come on, I want you to come. We want to pray with you. As we begin to worship, come on. Come on.